In Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly parent give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It happens sometimes at extended family dinners when I return home to Western Kentucky. It even happens at gatherings in other places too. The time comes to say a prayer blessing for the meal, and all eyes turn to me because, you know, evidently I'm the professional when it comes to praying. Somewhere, maybe surely along the way of my training and education as a minister, I mastered the art of praying. The seminary degree or ordination certificate is the equivalent of getting your black belt in prayer, or something like that. Prayer is a funny thing in some ways. According to recent polls, 75% of Americans say they pray weekly, with 58% claiming to pray daily. And yet, when I've talked with people about their prayer lives, I often hear things like, "I'm not very good at it," or "I know I should pray more," or "I pray, but I wonder if it really does any good." And through my life in the church, I've also heard about those Hall of Fame type prayers, people who, like theologian and reformer Martin Luther, who spent hours in prayer each day and was quoted once as saying if he had much to do that day, that meant he needed to get up even earlier so that he could pray an extra hour. We hear such stories and can feel like real underachievers when it comes to our prayer life. Seriously, an extra hour? Other times, we read or hear of those who have these great mystical experiences with God when they pray, and we somehow get the expectation that every time we pray should be filled with this some deep sense of God's presence and all the fireworks that may go along with that. And then there are the questions that we may have about prayer, some of them very valid. How does prayer work? Why do some prayers seem to be answered and others aren't? What's the right way to pray? What should we pray about? Are there things that are too trivial to pray for? How much should we pray? All these questions and all these anxieties about prayer. And yet I wonder if our getting all wrapped up in these things causes us to miss the beauty and the purpose of prayer in the first place. So let's get a few things out there so maybe we can all breathe a bit easier. There are no experts or professionals when it comes to praying. There is no one official right way to pray. There are no magic formulas that get God to answer your every prayer. And maybe prayer isn't so much about getting something out of God in the first place. Even those who pray regularly struggle with it at times. And most everyone, including your pastor, has on more than one occasion wondered if their prayers are being heard at all. Quite a few of us might feel at least some degree of guilt when it comes to prayer. We feel like we don't know how to pray, but we should, or we think we don't pray enough. But guilt is hardly ever a good motivator, and a prayer life driven by guilt probably isn't much of a prayer life either. So today, maybe we can all take a deep breath when it comes to prayer, exhaling all our guilt and our frustrations. In today's scripture, Jesus has been praying when the disciples come to him and ask him to teach them to pray. And Jesus responds by giving them 20 rules about prayer and a long, incredibly complex formula and a structure for how every prayer should be. Well, no, actually, Jesus doesn't do that. He gives them an example, though certainly not the only example, that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And you'll notice, as Kathy mentioned earlier, that the version of it here in Luke's Gospel that we read today is even shorter and simpler than the one we pray in worship each Sunday, which is taken mainly from Matthew's Gospel. Now, we could spend extended time exploring the richness of just this simple prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples, but we'll save that for some other time. But notice, Jesus doesn't make prayer more complicated. Jesus doesn't heap a bunch of guilt or rules on them. He gives them a simple example, and then he goes on to tell his disciples a story about a friend asking another friend for help, teaching them that it is indeed important to ask for things in prayer. And then he talks about how we can ask for things in prayer because we pray to a God who is like a loving parent to us. What good parent gives something harmful to their children when they ask for something good and needed, Jesus says. Even more so, God loves us and wants to give us what we need. We can pray and trust because our lives and the lives of everyone else here on this planet matter to God. We're praying to the one who loves us deeply and cares about our life and our lives and the lives of those for whom we pray. So instead of feeling like you have to put on a performance, rest in knowing you're praying to the one who loves you as you are, the one to whom you can fully be yourself. You don't have to pretend in prayer. You don't have to edit out your struggles or your doubts or thoughts or feelings that you think don't please God, because God is big enough and loving enough to handle it all. Because in prayer, God doesn't want some edited, cleaned up version of you. God wants all of you. Honest you. A couple of years ago, I stumbled across Mary Oliver's poem entitled Praying, and it immediately became one of my favorites. You can find it on the cover of your bulletin this morning. The first part of this beautiful poem reminds us that prayer was never meant to be just something confined to 5 or 15 minutes in the morning or right before bed or at mealtime. That prayer is more something that's lived out in the midst of our everyday lives and routines. Prayer is a conversation with God about the world around us and how we live in it. Prayer can be simple and straightforward. As Mary Oliver writes, then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. The writer Anne Lamott suggests there are 3 essential prayers in life: help, thanks, and wow. Prayer doesn't have to be complex to be faithful. And at the end of Mary Oliver's poem, we have this beautiful reminder. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Prayer isn't a performance. It's not a contest. And maybe prayer isn't even so much about outcomes and answers as it is a doorway, a way to enter into deeper relationship with God and deeper connection with the world around us and the people in it. We've all had times in our lives where we just needed to pour our hearts out to someone, a spouse, a partner, a friend, a family member, not because we needed them to do something, but because we needed someone to share that joy or struggle or idea or feeling or good news or disappointment with. And through that sharing, the relationship became stronger and deeper. And just like a human relationship can be filled with joys and sorrows, comfort and conflict, highlights and monotony, great intimacy and times we feel a bit more distant, our prayer lives can often feel that way too. But it's in the practice of prayer over time, when it's easy and when it's hard, when it's a joy and when it takes effort and discipline, that we deepen our relationship with God and in turn with God's world and God's children around us. prayer opens us up to God. As we lift up to God all we are and all we're experiencing and all these hopes and dreams and fears and worries, we're thinking about these things in light of our relationship with God. And in ways I'm not sure we'll ever fully be able to understand or explain, prayer can often change us. Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies because that's often the way, over time and through many clenched teeth prayers, that we find our hearts being softened toward them. When I pray for needs in the lives of others or injustices in our world, I create an openness in my own life for God to show me the ways in which God might want to use me to meet that need or to be a part of righting that wrong in the world around us. Each Sunday, as part of our reciting the Lord's Prayer together, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," because in prayer we make ourselves open to the ways God wants to use us to help make God's kingdom a reality in the here and the now. We pray because prayer is one of the ways that we are changed slowly but surely into people who live and love more and more like Jesus. Prayer is meant to be this freeing experience, a doorway that makes us grateful people, that creates openness for us to experience the love of God in all the ways it comes to us. God never meant for prayer to be a guilt trip or an empty ritual. God means for prayer to be time spent with God, the one who knows us fully and loves us relentlessly. So stop worrying about having the right words to say in prayer. The words of our prayers aren't nearly as important as the posture of our hearts when we pray. And none of us are experts at prayer. We all struggle at times. And yet we can also find that the more we pray, the more our prayer life deepens and develops. And that doesn't mean we reach some magical spiritual level where we're always motivated to pray and we never struggle with doubts or distractions as we currently do. And we can also find that prayer becomes a way of life than something we just occasionally do. So today, may we be reminded that the pressure's off. That prayer isn't a contest or a performance. It's a doorway into gratitude, into openness, into peace, into an ongoing conversation with the God who loves us deeply. So today, this week, let's embrace prayer for the freeing experience it's supposed to be. Let's realize that we can bring all of who we are to God, not just some edited, cleaned up version of ourselves. Let's embrace prayer as something that happens as an ongoing conversation and expression all throughout our day. And let's realize that our thinking, our acting, our doing, our serving, our loving, our struggling, that all of life can be offered up to God as prayer. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Amen.